Hello and welcome back to another Pisky Bite, miniature episodes where we explore the folklore, history and legends from across Devon and Cornwall. First off, a huge thank you to all of you who've been listening to the series this year, for all your support, and to all the amazing patrons who continue to make this series possible. If you'd like to help support the show, then please give us a like, subscribe, maybe leave a review, or just spread the word among your friends. All of that really helps. If you'd like to help support the series further, then you can check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/thepiskytrap. With Christmas just a few days away, everyone's starting to feel festive, and so I thought it would be nice to round off the year by taking a little look at a few of the old festive traditions and customs from across Cornwall. In their Folklore of Cornwall, Dean and Shaw write, "The Cornish Yule log was called a mock, or block, and was usually ignited with a piece of the previous year's log, sometimes with the figure of a man engraved upon it. Perhaps it would be too facile to suggest that this was a relic of human sacrifice, but certainly it was thought to deter witchcraft. Until quite recently, children in Cornwall were allowed to sit up until midnight on Christmas Eve to drink to the mock and sing carols around the flames." An intriguing one that, obviously, a Cornish variant of the idea of the Yule log. And you have to wonder at the significance of this figure carved into it. Does it maybe represent some kind of renewal or rebirth in the flames? Who knows? They go on to write, "An interesting practice survived in East Cornwall until the 19th century. Local apothecaries would employ a man to circulate the villages just after Christmas and buy excess goose, pork and beef fat. This the pharmacists would use to make their unguents, meaning ointments and that kind of thing. The collector was known as the dripping man. On the feast day of St. Nicholas, which is the 6th of December, the town of Parr once celebrated by choosing a boy bishop who would lead the choir dressed in his mock official robes." You get this old tradition of mock bishops, mock priests, mock mayors, for example, and that kind of thing from towns all across Cornwall a few centuries back. For a long time in the county, there was a tradition called wassailing. And Dean and Shaw write that in Bodmin, the wassail bowl is carried around the town by four men clad in full evening dress. They walk from door to door, collecting for charity and singing, "Our wassail bowl is full with apples and good spice. Grant to taste it once or twice, and joy come to our jolly wassail." The bowl contains movable pegs to mark the amount of liquor, cider or beer, that is consumed on its travels. The word wassail appears to derive from the Old English was hail, meaning be whole or be of good health, and compares with the modern day cheers. Moving on now to take a look at some of the customs mentioned in Margaret Ann Courtney's Cornish Feasts and Folklore, published in 1890. She also mentions some of the traditions around the idea of wassailing. And she writes, "In some places, the parishioners walk in procession, visiting the principal orchards in the parish. In each orchard, one tree is selected as the representative of the rest. This is saluted with a certain form of words, which have in them the form of an incantation. They then sprinkle the tree with cider, or dash a bowl of cider against it, to ensure its bearing plentifully the ensuing year. In other places, the farmers and their servants only assemble on the occasion, and after immersing apples in cider, hang them on the apple trees. They then sprinkle the trees with cider and after uttering a formal incantation, they dance around it, or rather around them, and return to the farmhouse to conclude these solemn rites with copious draughts of cider. She then goes on to relay the following through Thomas Quiller Cooch, who was passed the information by a farmer from mid-Cornwall. In Warleggan, on Christmas Eve, it was customary for some of the household to put in the fire, meaning to bank it up, and the rest to take a jar of cider, a bottle, and a gun to the orchard, and put a small bough into the bottle. Then they said, "Here's to thee, old apple tree, hats full, packs full, great bushel bags full, hurrah!" and fire off the gun. Apparently, the words chanted in East Cornwall were, "Health to thee, good apple tree, pocketfuls, hatfuls, peckfuls, bushel bagfuls." At one time, small sugared cakes were laid on the branches. This curious custom has been supposed to be a propitiation of some spirit. Now, talking of spirits, in West Cornwall, according to William Bottrell, there was a Christmas superstition connected with the fugu, vug, or vow, local names for a cove, at Pendeen in North St. Just, and I quote, "At dawn on Christmas Day, the spirit of the vow has frequently been seen just within the entrance near the cove, in the form of a beautiful lady dressed in white, with a red rose in her mouth. There were persons living a few years since who had seen the fair but not less fearful vision, for disaster was sure to visit those who intruded on the spirit's morning airing." Ghosts are often a tradition around Christmas time, and a famous example that we mentioned in the episode on phantom coaches is the Molesworth Arms over in Weybridge, where at midnight a phantom coach, drawn by four horses and driven by a headless coachman, was said to gallop through the courtyard every New Year's Eve. With New Year's in mind, back in the 1880s, Thomas Quiller Cooch wrote in the Western Antiquary, "Parties are general in Cornwall on New Year's Eve to watch in the new year and wish friends health and happiness, but I know of no peculiar customs, except that before retiring to rest, the old women opened their Bibles at haphazard to find out their luck for the coming year. The text upon which the forefinger of the right hand rested was supposed to foretell the future, and money, generally a piece of silver, was placed on the threshold to be brought in the first thing on the following day, that there might be no lack of it for the year. Nothing was ever lent on New Year's Day, as little as possible taken out, but all that could be brought into the house. I have even known the dust of the floor swept inwards." So, just a few there of the old customs from around Christmas time. That's it for this little festive pisky bite. I hope you've enjoyed it. And that's it for this year. Thank you so much to everyone for all your support. We'll be back again in the new year. Hope you all have a fantastic festive break, a happy new year, and thanks for listening.